Okay, here's chapter 4, and this one's about the mind connection, how to get it, and the different ways that people experience it. The way that we're doing the mind connection in this chapter is different to the way that I do it now. However, this much more formal way of doing it might suit some people quite well, so I've included that in these audio chapters. The first key to happiness with your horse gives you a less formal and simpler way of connecting with your horse. So some of you might enjoy that better. Anyway, here's to chapter 4. I've seen green riders get better results faster because they're working their mind connection with their horse. That's the heading. I've seen green riders, beginners with little or no horsemanship skills, with more cooperation from their horse than some of the best riders in the country. Yep, I can feel some of you more experienced riders tensing up right now. I didn't like it much either. It was a bitter pill to swallow, but I'm over it now. I spent around $50,000 getting some of the best training in the world, and I've seen beginner riders getting more cooperation from their horse than I ever got back in those days. And what are they doing differently? They've been laying the foundation of a very deep mind connection with their horse, the foundation that I spell out step by step in this book. It's so beautiful to watch. I often get tears in my eyes. I've even seen famous competition riders who still don't have that kind of cooperation. So how do these beginners get it? How can you get it? It starts with the mind connection that will lead you to what may be your first experience of interspecies communication. Bobby told me when we were writing Bobby's diaries that the mind connection is more important than anything else. More important than being the boss, more important than leadership, more important than anything. Because no matter what's going on in a horse-human relationship, the mind connection gives you the communication, and that gives you the opportunity to improve what's important to both of you. There are many ways to do this, but here's a simple way to mentally connect and experience your horse's mind and then hear them. Stand or sit somewhere that's safe where you can see your horse. You can shut your eyes if it's easier this first time, but you'll most likely want to do it with your eyes open later. Picture the bubble of energy that surrounds your horse and another bubble of energy that surrounds you. See it or imagine it in your mind. Mentally, take yourself to the outside edge of your horse's energy bubble. Stop there and ask for your horse's permission to come into it. You'll notice if you work with more than one horse that some horses have very small energy bubbles, others are quite large, some are even gigantic. It's the same with people. If you think you got a yes, then you did. So just mentally step into the energy bubble with your energy bubble. Some horses just pull me in really quickly without me having to do anything at all. They're all different. We're all different. Just be in that space that is their mind for as long as it's comfortable for you on this first time and enjoy the sensation. For many people, it is really quiet and deeply peaceful. Whatever it is for you, just enjoy it with no expectations about what's going to happen. Occasionally you will get a no when you ask to come into the energy bubble, and that can happen for a whole bunch of reasons, none of which involve you not being good enough. When we get a no, we just need to respect that. Now, here's a really important bit. I repeat this over and over again in clinics, and still some people don't seem to hear me. Once you've done the energy bubble thing and you're connected, everybody hears their horse in different ways. Each horse-human connection is unique. I personally know people, and I've taught them how to do it, who get a great big story from whatever horse they're talking to. That is not my talent. That is not the way it happens for me. And as I've taught a whole lot of people how to do this, I've noticed that it's not common for other people to get a great big story or a big detailed conversation either. Sometimes I've had specific answers to specific questions. In a clinic where one horse had a problem being saddled, I asked, "Does your saddle hurt?" And the horse did huge yawns and chews to let us know that yes, the saddle did hurt. I went and got the bareback pad for the rider instead, and we had a happy horse ready to move on to the next stage. Unfortunately, the rider had to get a new saddlet fitted. In other cases, I've been really frustrated when I've asked a horse a specific question and haven't got an answer, or haven't got an answer that made sense to me. The horse just looks at me or doesn't even bother to look up, just keeps eating grass. It's so frustrating. How can it work so well sometimes and other times you get nothing? Sometimes we just try too hard and our mind is cluttered up with the struggle to understand itself. This story illustrates another one of those reasons, I think. I had a student ask me to ask their horse a question the other day, assuming that because I wrote the book, I'm going to get a better answer than they are. The question was, does Molly want to be an eventer? For those of you who have never seen a three-star event, they contain seriously big jumps in the cross-country section, and they have to be bloody good riders and bloody good horses to do that level of eventing at even a mediocre standard, let alone at a high standard. I did not even bother asking Molly the question. My answer was, you can ask that question and you'll get a different answer depending on the context. If you had asked that question 6 months ago, her answer probably would have been, no thank you. And it would have been no in the context of what was happening back then when she was really unhappy. If you asked her the same question now, you would get an answer within the context of all the beautiful changes that you've already made, the poetry that I know you're looking for and that she is helping you to find. And I suspect that her answer will continue to change. In the case of Molly and her talented three-star event rider, the changes have been extraordinary. In just weeks, she's gone from a highly strung horse whose talents for the big contests was questionable to a horse with serious promise. She's changed from a stiff-legged, ready to zip out from underneath you horse to a soft-footed horse who is in rhythmic self-carriage more and more often. She's gone from a horse who would not look at her rider to one who is turning herself inside out for this wonderful rider who is working so hard to understand her. Her body has healed visibly and dramatically as she let go of tensions and released old stresses from the past. It makes sense, doesn't it, that Molly's answers to a question like that will change over time. So take that into consideration if you must ask those sorts of questions. You may wonder if all the wonderful stuff in Molly's story is possible for you. These are routine changes that happen as you connect with your horse's mind and use that to help your horse live their life with you without fear. There are many different ways of hearing our horses. When I was writing Bobby's diaries, I heard Bobby in short, punchy phrases as clear and distinct words in my head. It could easily have been my vivid imagination or a trip to the funny farm, except that he chewed so consistently whenever I heard what he was telling me. That gave me the validation that I needed about what I was doing. With other horses and even other animals, I've had the experience of pictures, almost like short video footage across my mind. There have been times when that video footage has been very vivid and clear, like when I saw a couple of seconds clip of my horse Matt on his hind legs fighting with a person on either side hanging onto lead ropes and someone doing something in front of him that had him hysterical with fear. Other horses, I will feel their pain, both physical and emotional, so strongly that it is as if it was my own pain. Lots of people who experience this have no idea that they're experiencing their horse's fear or their horse's pain. This one's really important, so much more about this later. Sometimes I'm working and I just know something, an idea or a thought just pops into my mind that seems natural at the time, but if I think about it later, how did I know that? Or my mind will be too busy to hear my horse, or I'll be focused somewhere else and the horse's body language will alert me that something wants to be changed. It's a whole package of awareness, although if I'm listening, the mind connection will give it to me long before the body language tells me that something is wrong. And then the horse gives me the chew to tell me that I got it right, that I have understood them. Anybody can do this. You can do this. It is not unique to special or sensitive people. I've only had more practice than you. Another thing, horses talk to me when they have something important to say. I don't get any chit-chat. Again, other people may experience that differently. We had a good example in New Zealand of how people hear horses in different ways. My clinic host and now dear friend, Cheryl McCulloch, was introducing a new horse to her little herd on this side of the river. Nugget had been with the other herd on the other side of the river since he arrived about 3 weeks earlier. Cheryl has a very close mind connection with her horse Whiskey, who was the dominant horse, the herd enforcer, on this side of the river. As she was putting young Nugget through the gate, she was saying to Whiskey, "Now, Whiskey, promise me that you'll look after him. He's only a little baby." And she understood from Whiskey that he would look after Nugget. So Nugget goes into the paddock and all the horses start running around, saying hello, tails up, very excited. Next thing, we see Whiskey ask Nugget to move along, and Nugget propped on his front legs and gave a little kick up at him. Then Nugget backed into Whiskey and threatened him with a bit of a kick. Then it was on for young and old. Whiskey hammered him. We could hear the thuds of hooves into flesh from where we were standing, barefoot hooves, thank goodness. The violence of it was horrifying. Nugget's owner, Bex, was understandably quite distressed about the hiding her horse was getting, and Cheryl was wringing her hands. It was high speed, horses milling around, hooves flying, and way too dangerous to get in there and take little Nugget back out. After a while, when it had settled a bit, Cheryl said to Whiskey, "But Whiskey, you promised to look after him." And Whiskey replied very clearly to her in words, "I am looking after him." While all that was going on, Bex was deliberately working with her feelings to understand what was happening, as we'd been learning in the clinic. We are going to explain how you can easily do that too later in the book. What she understood was that Nugget had been quite a disturbing influence to the herd on the other side of the river for the few weeks that he'd been there. Cheryl and her horses had created quite a special environment on her farm. It was an environment where Bex and her small children had been able to wander and play amongst the horses out in the paddocks in safety. Horses did not push each other around or play dominance games when the humans were amongst them. Very unusual. I had noticed on a previous visit how unusually gentle the entire herd was when the humans were in the paddock. With my help, Bex remembered how, ever since Nugget went in the herd, he's been pushing the other horses around, establishing his status in the pecking order, without consideration for anything else. She remembered that one of her children had had a close call just the other day, when Nugget was bossing one of the other horses around without worrying that this small child was in the way. It was only because of the other horse's strong effort to avoid running over the top of her that the little girl didn't get hurt. She realized that the whole gentle, safe feeling of the herd had been disturbed since Nugget went in. Thus, all three of us understood that by putting Nugget firmly back in his place, Whiskey really was looking after him. I am looking after him. Looking after his herd and looking after the people on the farm all at the same time. So here we were, the same incident, three different people, each getting the mind communication in different ways. Cheryl heard Whiskey in clear words. Bex heard the horses in a mix of her emotions, and I had thoughts and ideas that just popped into my head. My point is that if ever you should feel disappointed that someone else hears better than you, it is not useful to compare the way that you hear with someone else. It is not only not useful, it can get in your way of a beautiful relationship with your horse. You will hear your horse differently from the way other people hear theirs. If you deal with lots of horses, you can expect to hear different horses differently too. I will hear your horse differently from you because I'm hearing them through the filter of my past and my experience. I am fond of saying that each horse-human interface is unique.